Welcome to an incredible word from Pastor Marcus Dunham, Associate Pastor here at Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
It's time for us to jump into the word. Are you ready for the word this morning? Amen. Well, today I want to encourage you to be strong in grace. To be strong in grace. We're going to talk about what I mean whenever I say that, but that's coming straight from Scripture today. And I believe that God is wanting us to be strong in grace. There are a lot of things that we can be strong in. There are a lot of things that we should seek to be strong in. But one thing that the Lord wants us to be strong in is grace. And we're going to be zeroing in on a person in the Bible that we know all too well, that is Paul the Apostle. And Paul is penning his final letter in 2 Timothy, and he is at the end of his life. And you can, whenever you read 2 Timothy, the tone of that letter, you can tell that he knows that he's in his final moments of his life. And it's a very powerful letter, very powerful book, as it's filled with truth for us today. But Paul, he is imprisoned in Rome for the third and final time. You know, we've done a couple series involving the Apostle Paul, and we have talked about how he was in prison three different times. And the first two times, he ended up getting out, but this time he won't be. And he will be heading to his death. But in doing so, he decides to write a final letter, and he writes it to a very special person to him, and that is Timothy, his son in the faith. And Paul, when he's writing to Timothy, he begins in chapter 1 reminiscing the last and final time that he got to see Timothy. And he talks about how there were tears in his eyes, as it was a very special moment that he shared with Timothy. You can tell that they had a very special relationship. And Paul encouraged Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God, to stir up the gift of God on the inside of him. And he encouraged them to not be afraid. Now, he was a young man pastoring a church in a very wicked city. And he was encouraging them to not be afraid, because that is not of God. But instead, know that God has given you power, he has given you love, and he has given you self-control. He encourages them to stir up that gift that God has put on the inside of them, and to rely on the power of God on his life, and to rely on the fruits of love and self-control that he was needing during that season of life. What an encouraging word to us, that when we face hardship in life, to remember that we don't have to walk in fear. Whenever fear wants to creep into our life, that we can rely on the power of God in our life, especially when it comes to us doing what God has called us to do. There are times whenever fear is involved in that, imagining that we may not do a good job, imagining that we may not be able to be what God wants us to be. But in moments like that, just like Paul told Timothy, we can stir up the gift of God in our life, to stir it up in our hearts, and to rely on his power, and to walk in love and self-control. Amen? To do what God has called us to do. And so he reminds him that, and then he continues by challenging Timothy to not be ashamed of Jesus and to not be ashamed of him. You see, Paul was in prison and in chains. And people who supported Paul, people who were following Paul, whenever he was in prison this time, they backed away. They were ashamed, and they didn't want to be associated with him. And people, not only that, but some people were beginning to walk away from the faith. And Paul was encouraging Timothy to stand strong in the word and to guard the truth, and also to not be ashamed of him. And in doing so, he lets him know that even though that there are people who have done it, he encourages him to stand strong. And then that brings us to chapter 2. And this is where we're going to pick up in chapter 2 here in 2 Timothy. So I'm reading from the New King James Version, and this is what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 1, this is what he says to Timothy, continuing in that same vein. He says, "You therefore, my son," he says, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He says to be strong in the grace. In light of people falling away, let me encourage you to guard the truth and to be strong in grace. Paul was letting him know that there is a grace that is given through Christ and that's made available to us as believers. And this grace allows us to be faithful followers of Jesus. It allows us to be victorious in our Christian walk. You know, that's something that every one of us want in our life. We want to get closer to Jesus. We want to be more faithful. We want to be more productive. Well, Paul is saying that in order to do that, we have to be strong in grace. Not to be strong in our own abilities. Not to be strong in our own intellect, but to be strong in grace. Now, this grace that he's talking about, let's talk about the word grace for a moment. Because when we talk about the word grace, many times we know it to be God's unmerited favor. And that is what the grace of God is. It is his unmerited favor, the unearned favor of God. However, I would say that that is a very broad description of the word grace. And whenever you see it used in different times in the Bible, it's used in a specific context. So while Paul is referring to the unearned, unmerited favor of God, he's also being very specific when he encourages Timothy and encouraging you and I to be strong in grace. So what does he mean? I believe grace is the enabling agent of God that gives people the ability to accomplish his will. The enabling agent that God gives us, that gives us the ability to do what God has called us to do. Grace gives us power. It gives us an ability. I love what Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14 says. It says that God is giving you both the will and the power, the ability to do what pleases him. He gives us both the desire and he gives us both the ability. How? It's through his grace. Grace is a tool, and it's by grace that we are able to love one another faithfully. It's by grace that we are able to serve one another. It's by grace that we are able to forgive whenever it's difficult. It's by grace that we are able to witness, to be a witness to those in our life, to do what God is calling us to do. It's not by our own power. It's not just through your own intellect. It's not just through your own charisma, because that'll only get you so far. It'll burn you out. But it's by the grace. And Paul is telling Timothy to rely and to lean on that grace. It's a tool that God uses to save, to transform, and to empower you. Now, every one of us here, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have grace operating in our life. Grace is already operating in your life. In fact, I want to talk about three ways that we see grace operating in our life already. Number one is that we start in grace. This walk that we're walking, it started in grace. The Word of God tells us that it's by grace that you have been saved. It's by his grace, through faith, but it's through the tool that God has given you and I, the ability for us to trust in the Lord. He is the one who drew us to him, and it's by his grace that we're saved. We start in grace. Not only do we start in grace, but we stand in grace. We continue to stand in his grace that allows us to grow as believers, to draw closer to God. It's only by his grace. We stand in it, and we continue in his grace. And then number three, we are strengthened in grace. There are moments and times in our life where God comes and he strengthens us. It's through his grace. Whether it be facing hardship, you know, we've all been through moments and times in our life where it was difficult and we needed the grace of God. And the fact that many of you are here, it's by his grace. Amen? By the grace of God. Can I get an amen? It's by the grace of God. Whether it be temptation, you know, it's moments that we have to rely on his grace to strengthen us, to stand strong, and to remain faithful to God. We want to please God, but there are times when temptation is strong and we have to rely on his grace, or whether it be even persecution. Now, in America, I mean, persecution is not the same as it was in the early church, or that it is around the world. But there are moments where we need to rely on God's grace to strengthen us. And that is what he does. He strengthens us. And so Paul tells Timothy to be strong in grace, which means that it's possible for us not to be strong in grace. What that means is that if I'm walking in my own intellect, if I'm relying on my own abilities, if I'm relying on my own charisma to do what God has called me to do, it means that I'm strong in myself. And if I'm strong in myself, I can't be strong in grace at the same time, because it's the unmerited favor of God. But whenever I choose to rely on his grace, instead of imagining that I have the ability, that you have the ability to do what God has called you to do, instead to rely on his grace, then we begin to lean on it. We begin to walk in it, and he begins to strengthen us in it. Amen? I would say that in order for us to be fruitful Christians, for you to be a fruitful Christian, you must be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's found in Christ. The closer that we get to Jesus, the closer that we get to his grace. And we need it. So, Paul tells Timothy, be strong in grace. Why? Why is it that Paul is wanting Timothy to be strong in grace? No doubt, it's so that he would remain faithful to the truth. But in verse 2, he reveals, he says this. He says to be strong in grace that is found in Christ. And he says that, and says, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul was encouraging Timothy to rely on the grace of God in order to invest in the next generation, to invest the truth in the hands of faithful men. Now, faithful men is not just people who just simply believe in God, but instead, faithful men are those who represent believers who faithfully raise up disciples in sound doctrine as well. Paul is encouraging Timothy to find these people, to raise them up, and to pour into their life. And let me tell you that by grace, God has called every one of us to do the very same thing. For us to invest into the next generation. As Pastor Ron says all the time, that we are one generation away from the church being extinct. It's incumbent upon us, all of us, to raise up faithful followers, to disciple. This year, Pastor Ron he's putting a focus on discipleship. The importance of us pouring into people in our life. And in this room are a collection of people who have been serving Jesus for a very long time. Some of you may be new to the faith. but for the most part representing a good amount of people who have been faithful to the Lord. God is calling us to raise up another generation, to pour into the people around us, to be faithful followers of Jesus, to get them saved, get them baptized, get them in church, help them to read their Bible, teach them how to pray, to worship, to give, to teach them how to be a light, to love other people, for us to raise up, but it's not through our own power, but through grace. It can't be by our own power. You see, because we can teach what we know, but people only catch who we are. We can teach what we know, but people are only going to catch who you are. If I try to raise people up in my own strength, and the best that I can imagine is to raise people like me, and we don't need more Marcuses, okay? We don't need more Brians, although actually we could. But we need more faithful followers of Jesus. And the only way we can do that is by his grace. It's through the grace of God that enables us and gives us the ability to invest and to pour into the people's life that are around us, that God is sending us or that God is sending us to. You know, God sent Paul, but God sent Paul to Timothy. There are times whenever God is sending people our way that we're called to invest in. If they're not saved, then we begin praying for them. We begin witnessing to them. We begin encouraging them. We begin sharing the truth with them, sharing our testimony, and inviting them to church. If they are saved, it's an opportunity for us to invest in them, whether it be our children, our grandchildren, or the people in our workplaces, or people that God is just sending us. We are called to raise them up. I love what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is what he says in verse 10. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. Saying that the grace of God had a powerful impact on my life. And he says, No, I worked harder than all of them, referring to the apostles. And he says, but yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. He says, I am what I am. It's not just what I know. Paul, it wasn't about what I, he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And the grace had a major impact on my life. And even though I worked harder than all the other apostles, he said it wasn't by my power, but it was the grace of God working in me. Paul led many people to Jesus, raised up many faithful followers of Christ, planted churches. He even saw miracles happen and saw communities transformed in his ministry. But he says it wasn't by his power, it wasn't by his ability, but by the grace of God, by the grace working in him. He says, I am what I am. Listen, you are what you are by the grace of God. And people need to catch what's on the inside of you. What keeps you coming to church? What keeps you ensuring that you are being faithful to the Lord? What keeps you from going back to who you used to be? That what's on the inside of you is what the people that God is sending you toward, that are sending your way, need to catch. Let me tell you, this generation, you know, I was talking to my wife the other day, and so much of the values, the godly values that I see in the people that God has placed in my life, many of them have fallen away in the generation coming after. There's an idea of deconstructing ideas. And many people are deconstructing, pulling apart, taking institutions like the Bible, like church, God himself, and imagining, is it true for me? Rather than relying on the truth that we are created in the image of God, that he has called us, that he is drawing us, that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, and that if we place our faith in him, then we will be born again, a reliance on the word of God, a reliance and trust in him. Much of that has gone past, and I find myself facing that with family and also with people that I invest in, the people that I feel like God has called me to disciple, but it's even more of the reason why you and I are called to raise up disciples. And listen, it's no different from what Paul was facing. It's no different from what Timothy was facing. No different. It's just a new year. It's just a new decade, a new century. And God has called you and I to be the ones who are raising up faithful followers of Jesus. Just like grace was on Paul, the grace of God is on your life. It's in your life. Now, at times, we may imagine that I'm not a pastor. I can't do that. Or I don't know everything that I need to know. I can't do that. However, I think about people like Priscilla and Aquila, faithful ministers that God raised up. They may have been set as pastors in their house, but really they were just faithful followers of Jesus who were doing the same thing that Paul was doing and investing in the people that were coming into their home, going out to people and the people that they were at in their workplace. No doubt they were being faithful followers of Jesus wherever they went. We may imagine, what if I mess it up? What if I don't do it right? Well, let me encourage you that there were even people that Paul invested in who walked away from the Lord, who were in a place where they weren't being faithful to God in that moment in time. Paul raised up many people, but there were also some who weren't faithful. It wasn't Paul's fault. It wasn't that he didn't do a good job. He did the same thing. He was faithful to the Lord. However, once it's in somebody's hands, it's between them and the Lord. We have to do our best to disciple them, but they have to walk with the Lord. Let me encourage you to begin to find people in your life that God is sending you, or that you are running into in your life. Who is it that God is calling you to? Who is it that God is wanting you to disciple, to witness to bring to the Lord? Who is it? No doubt, maybe God is putting somebody in your mind now, or maybe through prayer and through time, God is going to reveal people that he's already sent to you, or people that he's going to send you to. Whatever the case may be, as you scatter the seed, as you begin to invest, no doubt in the midst of the people that you are investing in, you will raise up Timothy's. You will see Priscilla's and Aquila's raised up. Epaphroditus's, you will see Philemon's, those who are faithful followers of Jesus that you can trust the truth with, who can also go and make disciples. Listen, we do this as parents, raising up kids who are responsible. It's similar as we are raising up faithful followers of Jesus. You know, I was encouraged by something that Miss Viola told me last Sunday, and she really meant it, and that's why it really meant something to me. You know, obviously, I've got four daughters, and of course, Mr. Gary, I wanted a boy, at least one. But the Lord gave me four daughters. You know what? I'm gonna be the best girl dad I can be. That's what I love doing. And she told me something that really encouraged me. She said, "You know why God gave you all girls?" And she really meant this. Miss Gloria, you were there. And she said, because God knew that you were going to take care of them girls, he needed you to raise up spiritual young men, to raise up spiritual sons. And that resonated with me, because it's something that I always felt God called me to. And it really encouraged me. But God has called you. He's called you. Even if it's one in a year, one in a season, maybe it's a few, whoever it may be in your family, whether it be friends, whether it be somebody who God has reintroduced back into your life, there's an opportunity for us to pass on the truth, to pass on what God has placed on the inside of us. And again, it's not just about telling them what we know. It's about them catching what God has placed on the inside of us, how he has transformed you. It wasn't by your power. Definitely wasn't by mine. The Lord transformed me, and he's still perfecting me as he is in you. You don't have to know the whole Bible. You don't have to have a PhD in theology to raise up disciples. All you got to do is faithfully pour into them. So the question is how? How do we raise up disciples? What I want to look at, what Jesus said in Matthew 28. To raise up disciples, to disciple the next generation, what can we do? Number one is we have to go. We have to go and find the people that God has sent us or the people that God is sending us to. To go and find, whether if they're not saved, man, let us pray for them. Let us invest in them. Let us encourage them. Let us witness to them. Share our testimony. Invite them to church. If God is sending us to someone who is saved, but maybe they're just out of place with the Lord, then we pray for them and we invest into them. But we got to go and we got to be on the lookout for the people that God is sending us to and that God is sending to us. Secondly, baptize. We got to get them baptized. We got to get them baptized and follow the truth, but also get them baptized into the body of, Jesus Christ baptizes us into the body of Christ, but we got to get them involved in church. Get them involved. Get them involved in community. They need brothers and sisters in Christ where they can walk with. Let us get them involved in church. And then number three, let us teach them. Let us show them. Let us walk with them. Show them what it means to follow Jesus. Show them what it means to be obedient to his word. Man, I got so excited. Naomi, she has a friend that she plays basketball with, and her parents started coming to church here about 2 years ago. And over the last year, they've gotten really serious in their relationship with God. And we were talking. He was telling me, man, I just want to read the Bible better. And so I gave him something to read, and he texted me and he called me and said, hey, listen, man, I did it, man. What's next? And seeing him so excited, I mean, we all remember where we were, whenever we were so excited about following Jesus, just wanting to follow him. It just gets you excited whenever you get to see somebody walking, and getting closer to him. Let us raise up disciples. And no doubt you're doing it. No doubt you have done it. But God is still sending people your way. God is not finished with you. There's still more. And there are a slew of young people coming into our church. What an opportunity you have to pass on the values found in the Word of God. Oh, what it is, what an opportunity, Mr. Gary, Miss Karen, that you guys have to pass on what the Lord has placed inside of you. The riches. I appreciate you guys sharing your testimony a couple Wednesdays ago. How awesome that is. Mr. Brian, Andy, Elisa, God has called us. He's placed on the inside of us, and we have an opportunity through the grace of God to pass it on to the next generation. Let us be aware that God is sending people our way. Let us be aware that God is sending us to people, and let us be aware that people are watching. Let us invest. Let us disciple. Let us pour in to the people that God has placed in our life. And let us see God use us to raise up faithful followers of Jesus. Faithful followers of Jesus. That we can entrust the truth and teach them how to do the same thing. Amen? Teach them how to do the same thing. But it's not in our power, but it's by the grace of God, which he strengthens us. So let us be strong in grace. Let us be strong in grace today, knowing that God is strengthening you today. He is strengthening you for you to raise up people that he is sending you to and that he's sending to you. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you, God, for the responsibility and the weight, God, that you have given us as faithful followers of Jesus to reproduce ourselves. God, to pour in to more people, to pour into more believers, to teach them how to follow you as well, to show them how to follow you as well. God, I pray, God, that as we do so, Lord, I pray, God, that you would work through us. God, I pray you would help us to identify the people, God, that you are sending our way, Lord. Highlight them, God. Lord, and I pray, God, that you would show us, God, how to be faithful in it, Lord. God, and God, teach us how to rely on your grace. And God, not just to teach people what we know, but God, to show them, God, who you are in us. Lord, help us to raise up faithful followers of Jesus, God, through the grace of God that you provide. Strengthen us and use us. In Jesus' name, if you believe that and receive that, let me get a powerful amen. 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 Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for this dynamic message from Pastor Marcus Dunham. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.